have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text in the book of 2 Samuel. Book of 2 Samuel. I guess he should have told them when they asked him if he believed everything I preached. Should have told him, I don't know that I believe everything I preach. Leastwise, I don't act like it half the time. Old Ron Dunn said years ago, most Baptists knew what the Bible taught, they wouldn't believe it anyhow. That's right. I'm firmly convinced of that. Most of you, if you knew what the Bible taught, I guarantee your first words would be, I don't believe that. Oh, we need to get back to the pure word of God in this hour. Not what this preacher thinks or that preacher thinks or what that old preacher used to preach. Just what this book says.
Yes, sir.
Pure word of God. We begin this morning and want to continue tonight looking at the call of God and using as the basis of our study the times in the Bible when the Lord used double names. I'm not taking these in any order. I'm giving them to you the way I got them. So I'm sure I feel as though the more I look at them, there is an order to them. I believe we looked this morning at the last one that is mentioned in the Bible, called a salvation, and certainly there is a progression of going backwards in looking at these calls of God. God certainly is a God of order. But I'm not so much interested in the order of the way He give them. I'm more interested in the truths that are just reeks out of these calls of God. Tonight, I want to look at another one in 2 Samuel chapter number 18. This one is a double name call that came from the lips of David. But there is a greater emphasis of a greater than David giving this call. David is such a beautiful picture of Jesus. And he is compared to Christ. Christ is to one day sit upon the throne of David. But I want to look at this call tonight where David will use his own son's name in a double manner. And I'd like to preach some thoughts tonight on the call to sorrow. Call to sorrow. David's son has died. He has been put to death by one of David's army generals by putting darts through his heart. The news has come back to David that he is dead. In chapter number 18 and verse 30, and the king said unto him, turn aside, stand here. Turned aside and stood still. This is the man that has come with the news. Behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, tidings, my lord the king. For the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. The king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? That's David's son. Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. The king was much moved, went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, oh, my son, Absalom, my son Absalom. Would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son. There is several double name calls that reeks out of this king for his son. There is a call to sorrow. I want to look tonight at what led up to David's sorrow. See some lessons that would lead us to believe that we too can expect God to call us to sorrow. It is not that sorrow is coming. Oh no, sorrow's on the way. Question is, how will you and I respond to our sorrows? There is some great lessons from the life of David, his call to sorrow, that we do not want to emulate, but we want to stay clear of if all possible. If I could tonight give you Webster's definition for the word sorrow, it is a classic. He said it is mental pain and uneasiness caused by loss, disappointment, grief, unhappiness, and regret. I run it by you again real slow. He said it is a mental pain and uneasiness caused by loss, disappointment, grief, unhappiness, and regret. Let us look tonight, if you've got your Bibles, looking at several passages of Scripture. Run this channel of sorrow that David went through. We want to begin in 2 Samuel chapter number 12. I want to bring to our attention, first of all, the curse of sorrow. The curse of sorrow. If you have had a loss tonight, you have lost the dearest thing to you. There's disappointment. There's been grief. There's been unhappiness. There has been regret. How come it has happened? There is the curse of sorrow. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. As we step into this story, David has had a one-night fling and an adulterous affair with an old gal. He has had her husband murdered. He has taken this expectant woman into his house. She has become his wife. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse number 10, we see the pronouncement of the curse upon David. The Bible says, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor. He shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." There is a pronouncement of a curse upon David and his entire family. God said, "David, I want you to know, I'm going to send a bunch of loss your way. I'm going to send a bunch of disappointment your way. I am going to send a bunch of grief your way." He said, "I'm going to make you extremely unhappy, and I'm going to give you all kinds of regret." You say, "I don't like a God like that." Take it up with him. He said he's like that. Pronouncement of the curse. But I notice in the text, not only is there the pronouncement of the curse, but I notice there is the price of the curse. He says in chapter 12 and verse 13, David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. That's where most of us want to stop, with the curse of sin. Things that we've done years ago, maybe things generations ago, your papa, your grandma did years ago. We want to just forgive and forget and just act like they never ever happened. It isn't no problem tonight. God will forgive you of every sin. He'll wash it in the blood. There'll be no remembrance of that sin. But he will not take away the consequences. You'll reap it to generations to come. Even to the third and fourth generation. Watch the text. Verse number 14. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasions to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, this child also that is born to thee shall surely die. Let us remember tonight, much of our sorrows, much of our regrets, much of our unhappiness tonight, much of our disappointments, much of our grief tonight is nothing more than the sins we have committed in days gone by. And if they're not our sins that we have personally committed, they are sins that our forefathers have committed, or either they're just a part of the curse that pervades over this whole land. All of it has its roots. Every time you have sorrow tonight, it either has its roots in your sin, it has its roots in the sins of your fathers, or it either has its roots in the curse that is upon us all. I'm talking about the price of the curse. But watch, not only do we see the curse of sorrow here, but we see the characters of sorrow. David is going to have four characters that are going to reap his sin. Preacher, I thought if I did something wrong, it won't bother nobody but me. That were you wrong. Matter of fact, I was a-thinking the other day. I know you wouldn't believe this, but I got seven grandyoungins. I don't even look like I ought to have one grandyoungin, let alone seven. And if the Lord will let me live to December, number eight is on the way. And I got to thinking, eight grandyoungins, if perchance they were all to have as many children as I had three, if they were just to have as many as I did. And of course, we've already exceeded that because the middle boy's already had four. So we know there's good possibility they're going to have more than that. But if they each one just had as many as I did, in the fourth and fifth generation, there'll be over 600 people come from me. You tell me, I'm going to live my life as I please and let 500 or 600 people reap the whirlwind of my life. And the sad thing about it, they won't even know how come they're in the middle of hell, and it'll be because of the hell you lived. And they're reaping it. Didn't even know they planted it. Watch David's life. Four characters reaped David's sin. Chapter number 12, verse number 6. He says, and he shall restore. This is the story that was told David. David rises up. He said, he shall restore the lamb fourfold. God says, David, I'll take you up on that. He says, I want a fourfold consequence for your sin. Number one, Let's look at the first character in this story. Let's look at the baby. What did God do to the little baby? Everybody always tells us, oh, God wouldn't touch no little baby. He wouldn't. He did in this story. Killed him graveyard dead. How come? Because something he did? No, because something his daddy did. Kill him dead as a hammer. Watch the text. Chapter number 12, verse number 15. Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. Verse number 18, and it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. Time out! Hold on! Awful ugly of God. I tell you, God has a way of just adding insult to injury. God will catch you when you're down and then smack you in the face. He takes this baby on the seventh day. You say, preacher, why? How come that's such a big thing? Oh, it's a big thing. If it had lived one more day, they could have circumcised it. It had been in the covenant. It had been a part of the family of God. God walks right in there before he gets into the covenant and cuts him off. You say, I don't like a God like that. I tell you what, it better start living holy.
Yes, sir.
Seeds are coming up in your family's life.
Yes, sir.
You know where they're coming from. Causing sorrow. I thought it was interesting in this story. Verse number 23. David said, but now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him. But he shall not return to me. All of the conditions, all of the consequences, all of the circumstances said this baby's dead. It's been cut off on the seventh day. It didn't have a chance to be placed in the covenant. It didn't have a chance to be placed in the family. But instead of looking at all of those circumstances, David knows it was his sin, and he looks beyond those circumstances to the God of circumstances. Finds hope in God. Well, I don't know what you've done in the past, but I tell you, you can look to the God of hope beyond today and do some things about it. I notice in verse number 19 of the text, but when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Verse 22, and he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and I wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? I got to looking at that verse. And I think this is where a lot of times we miss it. David had been asking for grace. Some of us get in our sin, we start to reap the consequences, and we start asking God for grace. You got a messed up, hon. Grace tonight is God giving you and I what we don't deserve. It's not what David needs here. He don't need grace. He needs mercy. He needs God to withhold from him what he does deserve. Oh, we don't want to own up to the consequences. We want God to remove the sin. We want him to remove the consequences. Let bygones be bygones. He's not going to do it. You'll reap it to the fourth and fifth generation. It's coming up. Characters of sorrow. So tonight, when you're having disappointments, griefs, unhappiness, things that just unsettle you at your mind, you realize tonight it's either coming from your sin, it's coming from the sins of your fathers, or it's coming from the curse that prevails over all of this land. You know, that leads me tonight to not want to place the blame on someone else. It does not lead me to want to place the blame on something else. We live in a generation where we want to blame everything on our dead mom. Huh? I tell you, I'm like I am because my daddy messed me all up. Huh? No! Our sorrows lies at our door. It's our sin. We see it in this baby. But watch another character in this story. You've got your Bible there, 2 Samuel chapter 13. Fourfold payment, you remember. You say, preacher, you don't understand. What I did was such a small thing. By gracious, it wouldn't even be worth coming to an altar and praying about it. It wouldn't even be worth coming and, preacher, it happened so long ago, don't even nobody know about it. It wouldn't even be worth getting an altar and telling God I'm sorry about it. Oh, hon, it will when your grandyoungin start reaping it. It'll be much bigger then. Oh, it's big to God. I tell you what, if he's brought it to your mind tonight, it's big to him. If it's gone through your mind while I've been preaching, it's big to hell.
Listen.
And it must be gotten right. Must be gotten right. Tonight. Or there will be major consequences. 1 Samuel chapter number 13. Two more characters in the story. Tamar, David's daughter. And Ammon, David's son. Watch the story. Verse number 1. It came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister. You that are here tonight, young people that are pretty, don't think that's a blessing. It may be a curse on you. You may wish one day you were ugly. She was fair to look upon. It cost her. The Bible says, whose name was Tamar, Ammon the son of David loved her. Here is a brother who is sicko in love with his sister. This is in David's family. And you wonder, you and I wondered, how come we got them skeletons in our closet? There's a reason. Where'd it come from, preacher? I don't know if you've caught it yet or not. Some of you still look at me like deer caught in headlights. Your sins of your fathers, are either the curse that prevails over all the land. It all has its roots in one of those three areas. One of those three areas. Watch the text. Verse number 2. And Ammon was vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. She was a virgin, and Ammon, though he was hard for him to do anything to her. He is in love with his sister. He wants his sister. The Bible tells us in verse number 6, so Ammon laid down and made himself sick. When the king was come to see him, Ammon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come. Make me a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Ammon's house and dress him meat. When Tamar came over there, Ammon rose up and raped his sister and then viciously put her out of the house. And as much as he loved her before she got there, he hated her after she left. Time out! Hold on! Why did David let that boy go down there to that house? Oh, I can tell you why. Some of you already know. But let me tell you, just in case it has missed your mind, he let his heart rule over his head. He let his feelings rule over his spiritual discernment. That's how come some of you are easy on your youngins. You won't pull the knot up on them. and say, this is the way that it's going to be.
They might not like me. They might not want to come over and see me no more.
Well, I raised three. I ain't never cared what they thought or how they felt. And still don't.
All right, Tom.
But they were over there yesterday, and I had to run them out last night so I could see the taillights of their car. Are you listening to me? David, he lets his feelings for that boy overrule his spiritual discernment, and he has a tendency to be lack on him and slack, and lets him go down there and lets Tamar come to the house. But notice, you know, this thing of that happens here. You know, there's no sharper pain tonight than to see your own sin reappear in your children. I don't think it causes me any grief than to see my boys do in excess what I did in moderation. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, would tonight that we would begin to repent, be broken, and confess our sins before God. Perchance He would be merciful to us and at least relieve some of the consequences of the sin. There is Tamar, there is Ammon, there is this little baby. 2 Samuel 13. You remember we started out this sermon with a call to sorrow about Absalom. Let's see how he plays in the story. Chapter number 13 and verse 20. And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, hath Ammon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother's house. Verse number 22, and Absalom spake unto his brother Ammon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Ammon because he had forced his sister Tamar. Here, Absalom hates his brother. He's done what a lot of you have done. You have wished somebody was dead, but you took the poison yourself. And it has made you so bitter. So bitter. So bitter. So bitter. I look at some of you. You know, I've been coming here year after year. And I look at you. Some of you so hardened in your faces. So bitter. You never smile. You just. So bitter. So bitter. So bitter. That's the way Absalom was. So bitter. Oh, I wish Ammon was dead. Drank the poison himself. Bitter. 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 Hey, what's Daddy doing? How's David responding to all this? I thought it was interesting. Look at how David responds to this rape of his daughter. Hey, I was wondering if something like this happened in your family. How would you handle it? Let's not tell nobody. I mean, he's just molesting the grandchildren. Let's try to keep it quiet. Here's what David did. Don't miss it. Oh, it's so good. I don't want you to miss it. Verse 21. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very wroth. That little word wroth is an interesting word. It means to warm up in madness, and then it's over. He just got real mad,
And then,
over with. That's some of the ways you and I have handled the sin of our children. Well, kids will be kids. Oh, watch the text. The Bible says in verse 23, and it came to pass after 2 full years, Absalom waits 2 full years. Just seething in that bitterness and that hatred. Yes, David. He said, Daddy, he said, I'm having a big sheep shearing party down here tonight. He said, I want all of the family to come down there. Daddy, he said, let all the boys come down there. He said, Daddy, he said, I'd like for you to come down there. David said, I just don't feel like I want to go. You read the story. He said, well, I'd like all the boys to come. He said, especially, he said, I wish Damon could come. There should have been sirens go off in David's mind when he heard that they want that boy to come down there. The Bible tells us, verse 24, Absalom came to the king and said, behold, now thy servant has sheep shears. Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with thy servants. Verse 27, but Absalom pressed him that he let Amnon and all the king's sons go down there with him. The Bible tells us that when Amnon got down there, Absalom had one of the sheep shears to kill him. How come David let that boy go down there? Simply because Absalom whined his way until he got his way. That's exactly what you and I do with some of our youngs. We finally give them our way if they whine enough. Hey, everybody got that. What you giving to me? Everybody got it. Everybody's doing that. Listening to me tonight? Oh, he whined his way into it. Finally, his daddy said, oh, that'd be all right. Once again, he let his feelings rule over his spiritual discernment. Bible tells us, verse number 38, so Absalom fled and went to Geshur, was there 3 years. The soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. Time out. Oh. He has had a daughter to get raped. And he got mad. It's over with. Now he's had a son to be murdered. Well, the boy's dead. We can't bring him back. Let's just let bygones be bygones. We got to keep the family together. Once again, he lets his feelings rule over his spiritual discernment. Still got your Bible there? Chapter number 14, verse number 23. So Joab arose and went to Geshur. This is after 3 years now. And brought Absalom to Jerusalem. He's going to bring the boy back. I guarantee you, for the last 3 years, David's been sitting around like this. He got his way. He don't see my boy. He ain't all that bad. He's a good boy. Are you listening to me? Joab brings him back. I thought this was real kind. Verse 24, and the king said, let him turn to his own house and let him not see my face. So Absalom returned to his own house and saw not the king's face. He said he can go back to his house. He can live in the compounds of it. Don't come out of there. I don't want to see you. I don't want to see your face. You'd think the story was a done deal, but then, oh, watch it. The story has yet to begin. You've got your Bible there, look in verse 25. But in all Israel there was none so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. He's a good-looking boy too. Bible tells us in verse 26 he had pulled hair, had very long hair, beautiful hair. Tells us even the weight of it. The Bible tells us in verse 27, in Absalom there was born three sons. One daughter whose name was Tamar. She was a woman of fair countenance. I don't know the judgment and the consequences that has fell on this house. But the Bible says here that Absalom had three sons. While he's living here at David's compound, he's not seeing David face to face. During this period of time, he has had three sons. But I thought it was interesting in chapter 18:18, the Bible says that Absalom has no children at all. Sometime or another, God's killed all three of these boys. They're gone. Consequences. You remember now, all of your sorrows have their roots either in your sin, the sin of your fathers, or is in the curse of this world that fell upon Adam and all of his descendants. Always have its roots there. Watch it. Bible says in verse 28, so Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem, saw not the king's face. He wanted to see his daddy. Well, how's he going to get to see his daddy? Watch the text. Verse 29, therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come. He kept sending messages over to Joab. He said, I want to see my daddy. You tell my daddy I want to see him. Joab ignored him. What did he do? It's awesome. Look at verse 29. Some of you can relate to it. You got youngins like this. If you don't, you got grand youngins coming along like them. Verse number 29, therefore Absalom sent for Joab to send him to the king. Verse number 30, therefore he said unto his servants, see Joab's field is near mine. He has barley there. Go and set it on fire. Absalom's servants set the field on fire. He's throwing a tantrum. He said, I want to see my daddy. If you don't see my daddy, I'm going to set your field on fire. Yeah. Joab come over to the house. He said, you nutbag. He said, why don't you set my fields on fire? I want to see my daddy. Oh, my. It's a grown man throwing a tantrum. Throwing a tantrum. David should have hung him right then from the highest tree. But he didn't. Watch what he did. You've got your Bible there. Verse number 33. He set these fields on fire. The Bible says in chapter number 15 and verse number 1, and it came to pass after this that Absalom, let's go back just a hair's breadth. Verse number 33. So Joab came to the king and told him. When he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. There's no demands that he repent. There's no demands that he publicly get it right. We're living in a day and age where you can live like a devil in a Baptist church and never come publicly and get it right. There's some of you done things in private. You need to come even this night and publicly tell us you're sorry. Publicly tell us you're sorry. Consequences of that sin. Here, no demands out of him. The Bible tells us in verse number 1, and it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses, 50 men to run before him. Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate, so that when any man came with a controversy to the king for judgment, then Absalom came also and said, of what city art thou? He said, thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good or right, but there is no man disputed of the king to hear thee. They would come out of judgment with David, and Absalom would stand out there. He said, where are you from? He said, oh, we're from over here. He said, well, how'd it go in there? He didn't do me right. Oh, Absalom said, if I'm ever the king, I'll do you right. He began to join the people around him. He began to get them to follow him. rose up to take over the kingdom, to rule and to reign. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in the 16th chapter, in verse number 20, that David fled. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, "Give counsel among you, what shall we do?" Ahithophel said unto Absalom, "Go in unto thy father's concubines." Oh, Absalom, put a tent up on top of the palace and raped all of David's wives. Raped all of his wives. David's running for his life. Chapter number 18, verse number 9. Bible says, "And Absalom met the servants of David. Absalom rode upon a mule. Mule went under a thick bur of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak. He was taken up between the heavens and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. Certain man saw it and told Joab and said, 'Behold, I saw Absalom hang in an oak.'" I love what old Lester Roloff used to preach. He used to preach a sermon, "And the mule rode on." I love the hound out of that. Here Absalom is dangling from a tree from that long hair of his. Bible tells us that Joab goes back by there in verse 14. "Then said Joab, 'I may not tarry thus with thee.' He took three darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak." Kills him. Chapter number 18, we come back to the text where we started tonight. I close right here. He has let this boy get away with murder. Now it comes the ultimate consequence. This boy pays with his life. And he says, "Oh, my son Absalom." Matter of fact, in chapter number 19, David's servants rebuke him for his foolishness. He said, they told him, said, "You love sinners, wicked people, more than you do the people of God. You're easier going on the wicked of your family than you are upon the people of God." Be careful tonight when your feelings rule over your spiritual discernment. I close with this thought. I've preached the whole sermon to get right here. We've looked at the cause of sorrow, the characters of sorrow. Now I want to just quickly, it won't take me but a minute, if you'll listen real fast, I promise you, be done in less than 5 minutes. There is the correction of sorrow. Correction. When you come into sorrow, disappointment, grief, heartaches, they'll always have their root in your sin, the sin of your father, or the curse that prevails over Adam's race. Three things. What should I do when sorrows come? Number one, look to sin's curse. Look to sin's curse. Ask God. This is awful deep. I don't even know if you can get it or not. I want to know which one my sorrows has roots in. Is it my sin? Is it the sins of my fathers and I am reaping the consequences? Or is it just the curse that prevails over the land? Preacher, how can I find out which one it is? Awful deep. I don't know if you can get this or not. Ask him.
Yeah, right.
He'd be glad to tell you. How come I'm reaping a whirlwind spiritually in all of these situations? How come this grief, this sorrow, this heartache, this disappointment has come my way? Look to the sin's curse. Of course, you know why a lot of you are not going to look, don't you? You don't want to know. You would rather just, "It just happens to everybody. All of us have a run of bad luck from time to time. You know, it's just things happen." Oh, no. God is precisely, with pointedness, allowing these things to happen of a sorrow nature in our hearts and our lives. Look to sin's curse. Second of all, back in the text where we preached from, 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 33, second thing that I want to do when sorrow comes, this is so important, this has been a help to me, look to self-causes. Look to self-causes. Make sure the root of all of those consequences is not in you. Not in you. You are the culprit. You are the culprit. Could there be anything I've overlooked? Could there be some small thing or some large thing that is living? This has been a blessing to me. Remember, the large and glaring things are not easily recognized. It may be some gigantic thing you're doing wrong and overlooking it. Just allowing it to rock on. And it's blaring. You could ask your next door neighbor and they could tell you what the problem is. You could ask the pagan on the street and they could tell you what the problem is. It's big, it's gigantic, it's glaring. But you're overlooking it. Look to self-causes. I thought this was interesting. This caught my eye in verse 33. He said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom." Look at these words here. Would God I had please tonight. Please, don't listen to this sermon tonight and put it on the back burner and have regrets 20 years from now. You say, "Oh, I wish I listened to that man of God that night and got that thing right." You say, "While I was sitting there in that meeting, God run it through my mind, and I ignored it. I said, it's not very big thing. It's not worth going to an altar and weeping over it." David said, "Would God I had. Would God I had. Would God I had." Wouldn't it be wonderful 20 years from now you see your grandchildren walking with God and you be able to say, "Thank God I did. Oh, that night over at Trinity Baptist, God brought something up in my heart. It was a small thing, but I bowed and said, 'God, I'm sorry. I want to get it right.'" Look to self-causes. Last of all, going through sorrow now, grief, heartache, disappointments, loss. What should I do? First of all, look to sin's curse. Look to self's causes. Third of all, last of all, look to the Savior's compassion. Yes, yes. Amen. I'll be honest with you. Have you ever met a daddy would put up as much as David did? I don't believe I've ever met a daddy as long-suffering as he was. Have you ever met a daddy that had as much compassion on his youngins and would put up as much with his young? I don't know. I don't know about you. If one of my boys had raped a sister, I don't know if I would have shot him. Such compassion, so long-suffering, so merciful, such pity. But you know, I was thinking about a greater than David. Oh, son. can you imagine, just for a brief second, can you imagine with what Jesus is putting up with in here tonight? I'm just talking. Hey, let's not go back there. Let's just stay up here. What God is putting up with right here. He should have pulled the rug out from underneath of the whole crowd and sent us to hell. You said, "I've been washed in the blood." It wouldn't matter. Most of us has done enough tonight to go to hell over since we've been saved. Huh? So pitiful. So merciful. So long-suffering. When you're going through your sorrows tonight, your loss, look to the Savior's compassion. Look to the Savior's compassion. I close with this thought. When God does call us to sorrow, there's that double name call. Could I encourage us to do this? Sorrow not as those who have no hope. Realize that most of our sorrows tonight, the reason for them, they lie at our door. They lie at our door. I feel like a lot of the things that are going in on my life, the things that I fight on a daily basis, I see it in my grandfather's. I was named after the most two wickedest men I've ever heard of. And I see a lot of the things that they fought all their life. I did not know either one of them. One of them for just a brief moment or two before he died. The stories they've told, things those men fought in their own lives. More than likely, maybe both of them are lost and in hell tonight. The things that they fought in their lives, I see a lot of the consequences of it in my own life. Things I fight constantly. It's the same things they fought. Oh, I don't know about you. I don't want my grand youngins one day to have to fight the consequences of sins because I wouldn't stop it and begin to sow righteousness in my life. Wouldn't it be something if your grandchildren raise up one day and say, "Gracious, you know, we've got to live a righteous life. We've got to live a holy life. We've gotten to live a pure life, a holy life. It must have been because old Baba was holy. Had our roots in him. Had our heritage in him." Talking about a call to sorrow. Would you stand with us tonight?